right? I mean, when I'm looking for something, I might go back and search 5 or 10 times. Now, I would recommend you can have as many ads running at the same time as you want. You could rotate 12 ads all at the same time if you really wanted to. Usually, though, it's best to only do 2 at a time, and that's because if you're running 12 ads, you're going to have to get about 360 clicks between all the different ads before the numbers of every one of those ads is pretty solid. And, you know, half of them might be losers, but you're not really sure if they're losers until 400 impressions have gone by. But if you just do them 2 at a time, okay, you know, 20 or 30 more clicks go by, oh, this one's a loser, get rid of it, try another one. This one's it's called beating your control. The best one you come up with is always called your control. And so you're always playing beat my control all the time. And so, you know, sometimes you'll be in the shower, you'll wake up in the morning, or you'll have a little brainstorm. I mean, once in a while I'll, like, you know, wake up in the middle of the night, I get some crazy idea. So, got to get out of bed. I'm, you know. Jonathan, are you as obsessive about things as I am?
Yeah, I leave the computer running, and Jules will say, "Where are you going?" And I'll say, "I've got to write an ad." Say, "Well, what do you mean you have to write an ad? You know, we're watching TV or we're something like that." And you know what's funny? Sometimes you get a brainstorm. You'll go ahead and you'll write an ad, and it will become the new control piece. Now sometimes it just bites. And, you know, you get, like, no clicks on it, and you don't have to worry about it. Google, you know, sends you an email saying, "I'm sorry you didn't get enough of a click-through rate." But occasionally those late-night brainstorms really do produce something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, the one thing that's interesting about that, just so great about this, is that if you do get a crazy idea, you know, some night, you can go and you can write the ad, you can put it up on Google, and if you're in a category that's getting clicks, getting traffic and getting searches, you're probably going to know within a day or so whether or not it works, or at least whether it has a chance, as opposed to Overture, where, you know, it takes them 5 days just to get the thing approved.
Yeah. So yeah, the ability to test headlines, titles, product names, names of books, names of seminars.
Now you said something. I want to clarify it because I was not aware of this. I usually have, and in this category I'm looking at, now I've got about 7 or 8 ads running.
Yep.
And they're all at about 1.1, 1.2% click-through rate.
Are they rotating all in the same campaign?
Yeah, they're all rotating in the same campaign.
Okay.
It's a group of keywords that I put together. And you think I should get rid of 5 of them and just take the top 2 ones? And
well,
keep testing ones against that? Is that the idea?
Are they all... What's the least number of clicks that you've got on one of those through a history?
Well, let's see. Most of them have, like I got 85 and 93 and 87.
Oh.
And so I've got 2 that I just wrote on the call. And it's already, actually, that I take that back. The one I just wrote, the 2 don't have any clicks yet. But I have one that I wrote this morning, which has already got 3 or 4 clicks. So the ones that let's say been running for a couple weeks have 100 or more clicks on it.
Right.
Those are pretty solid ads.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to take, and I've got one of them that has 1.2%, and then the rest of them are at like 1.1 or 1.0.
Oh.
I should take the 1.21, and I should start getting rid of some of the lower performing ads, and basically do a test between one and the other. Is that correct?
I'm not saying that you're doing it wrong, especially because you've got several ads that are all pulling in a similar effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that, and you've got all these ads, so every time somebody searches, they're going to see something slightly different. You got a better chance of catching them at least one of those times, so that's fine.
Well,
but
yeah.
if you're trying to get to an answer as fast as you can, then run 2 at a time.
Okay. Now, I noticed something just this morning, which I couldn't believe. I've got a bunch of different keyword phrases on here, And I've got, we'll take the speak Portuguese one, or learn to speak Portuguese as an example. If you've got 10 ads, and they all, and let's say they're rotating, and one of them is learn to speak Portuguese, it looks, it appears, it seems that Google is going to take the ad that closest matches the phrase that was typed in and deliver that one. Have you noticed that? Because I typed in some of my specific phrases, and in almost every case, the ad that appeared first in rotation was the one that had that exact phrase on it.
I don't know. Maybe Google does something that I'm unaware of.
Okay.
But as far as I know, they just rotate them evenly.
Or maybe that's the one when people type in that phrase, that's the one with the highest click-through, and therefore that's the one that rises to the top.
Well, but the position they give you is not based on the ad, it's based on the keyword.
Based on the keyword, okay.
So, okay. I mean, there might be something going on that I'm not aware of, but as far as I knew, they just rotate them evenly. So.
Okay, good. Well, can I say something else, because
yeah.
It's so interesting. I did that trick that you told us just a few minutes ago, and I mean, I'm sitting here in shock. I just put a whole bunch in brackets, and I took all my keywords, I put them in brackets, I added another set that were in quotes. For my primary phrase, I was number two position on page two. I am now the number five position on page one. I did not change anything except for adding those things, and I jumped up like four spots, Barry.
And going from page two to page one is like 10 times as much traffic.
I can't believe that one simple little trick, just taking the same keywords, putting them in brackets, did that. And I can only imagine how much more traffic I'm going to get. So, thank you.
Right on.
You want to keep going?
I'm going to keep going. The next thing is logical organization of campaigns and groups. A campaign is the biggest category, and a group, under each campaign, you can have a bunch of groups. When you build a new campaign, you are selecting what language, what country, what your daily budget is, really global decisions. And so let's say that you sell stuff that's for languages. If you got a bunch of Portuguese products, you'd put them in a Portuguese campaign, and you'd have different groups based on different kinds of phrases that relate to Portuguese. You might have one group that's for speak Portuguese. You might have another group that's for learn Portuguese. The speak Portuguese and learn Portuguese are different enough that you'd want different campaigns, different variations on those same keywords, different ads, different bid prices. Okay? Now, if you sell a bunch of language stuff, you want a different campaign for German and a bunch of groups underneath the German category, a different campaign for Spanish, and probably you will even target different countries. I don't think if you're selling foreign language stuff, you're probably not going to be selling Portuguese in Portugal. I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like it. Seems like you'd be selling Portuguese everywhere else. And so so you want to organize it that way. And it's a pretty simple thing, but it sure makes your campaigns a lot easier to manage. Again, you don't want to stick like everything but the kitchen sink in one ad group and then try to make one ad carry it all. If you've got to learn Portuguese keywords, then you're probably going to have an ad that says learn Portuguese, and you're going to have tracking codes specific to that group. And then when you got speak Portuguese, you're going to have speak Portuguese keywords, speak Portuguese ad, and a speak Portuguese tracking code, so you can tell do I get more sales from people that type speak Portuguese or more sales from people that type in learn Portuguese. Tools like One Shopping Cart's ad tracker or AdMinder or HyperTracker, they'll track impressions that come through different campaigns and trace them to opt-ins or trace them to sales, so you can figure out which campaigns are actually converting to the actions you want and which ones aren't.
Let me ask a question on that, because I know you can drill down very deep, and I just want to get that real clear.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a, you know, in the old days, we used to just drive all of our, with Overture, we used to drive all of our Overture traffic into one page.
Yeah.
And that way we could say, well, I spent $500 on Overture, and I made $1,000 on Overture, and so therefore Overture is a good investment. And you can do the same with Google. However, I think people who are more scientific about testing and people who've studied search engines understand that speak Portuguese and learn Portuguese attract different people and might actually have different, not only click-through rates, but different conversion rates. You might have one that gets a lot of people to click and they don't buy. Consequently, you might get one that gets just a few people, but, you know, 20%, 30%. We had a client recently who did we won't mention his name, but he had a Google AdWords campaign, and he was getting a 10% conversion off of his Google AdWords. And it was phenomenal just to see the differences between different phrases and what they do. Now, how deep can you drill? And I guess my question is, do you have to set up 50 different ad trackers for 50 different keywords? Or I mean, what's your strategy? Do you take, like, do you do it by group and then you start breaking it down?
Well, in a perfect world, you'd have a different tracking code for every single keyword. Practically speaking, that would be a nightmare. Okay.
Right.
You know, you could bid on 500 keywords and have 500 tracking codes, and you could pay your webmaster $5,000 just to set it all up, and, you know, it'd be a mess. So here's what you should do. I'm on inventory.overture.com. I type in learn Portuguese, and I've got this whole set of variations that I get. Learn Portuguese, learn to speak Portuguese, learn Portuguese online, learn Portuguese for free, learn Brazilian Portuguese, learn Portuguese language. Those are all so similar that I would put those in one group, and I would assign a tracking code to every group.
So you would take all those similar keywords.
Really similar, right?
Really similar. And then you'd have one ad tracking code, whether it's through one shopping cart or HyperTracker or AdMinder or ProAnalyzer. It doesn't matter which code, because
right.
Google does not have a problem with putting with you using an ad tracker.
Right.
And you would lump the similar ones together and try to find trends within those groups.
Yes.
Okay.
Now Google has a new interface. When you log in, they say, would you like to try our new AdWords manager? You can click on that, and they've got an old one and the new one, and the new one gives you a lot more capability than the old one. And two of the things it lets you do is it lets you pick out individual keywords in a campaign and specify a different bid price, because in general when you set up a campaign, you're setting up a bid price for that campaign, and it applies to all the keywords. Well, Google has this feature where you can pick any one of those keywords or all of them that you want, and you can specify a specific bid price. Maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower than all the other ones in your group. And they can let you specify a unique tracking URL just for that keyword. And so what I would do, if I really wanted to drill down, see, 90% of your traffic is going to come from 10% of your keywords. And so what you can do, let's say we got learn Portuguese, no punctuation, learn Portuguese in quotes, learn Portuguese in brackets, and all three of those are getting quite a bit of traffic. I could go, okay, I'm gonna add a tracking code for every one of these three, because they're getting a lot of traffic, and I'm going to track it all the way to sales. And when you do that, here's what's going to happen. A week will go by, and you'll find out that two-thirds of your keywords, when you break it all down and you divvy it up and you track them all the way through, you will find that two-thirds of your keywords don't convert to sales, even though you're paying for them. Now, this is what really separates the men from the boys. I mean, I got all these cool tricks for improving your click-through rate and everything like that. A point's going to come where you can't really get it any higher. I mean, you can come up with all these ingenious things, but you can't get it any higher. But what happens when suddenly you just stop bidding on two-thirds of it? Your sales stay the same.
Yeah, your return, your dollars in stay the same, but your dollars out go way down.
Right.
It just increases your profitability.
Right. Now, I'm not going to pretend that it's fun to set up tracking codes and to muck around with all that stuff. It's a hassle, and the average guy is not going to do it. Okay? I'm not going to pretend it's fun, but I'll tell you what. If you go to the trouble of tracking every ad campaign, and maybe you're tracking 10 or 20 or 30 different groups and campaigns, you're going to find there's drastic, huge differences between what you are paying for the traffic and what it's actually worth to you, which is yet another thing that your competitors simply are not privy to. It's proprietary to you alone. And so you let it run enough to where, you know, you've got 20 or 30 actions, just like you needed 20 or 30 clicks to see if the click-through rates was good, you know, 20 or 30 sales or 20 or 30 opt-ins, and you go, well, this is working, this ain't, I'm going to shut this off and stop buying this lousy traffic that doesn't convert.
Well, I would imagine let's say you've got 200 words, and let's say you've got 10 groups,
yep,
and you have 10 tracking codes, you'll find that there are probably whole groups that don't convert.
Entire groups, yeah.
It's not like you're going to end up having to make all 200 tracking codes anyway.
No.
You'll find that whole sets of groups don't convert, and you can just dump them.
Yep.
Like the ones for the coral calcium, that we found some amazing ones that just generated thousands and thousands and thousands of clicks and not one sale.
Right. That was exciting.
And then there were others that, you know, that generated virtually all the sales. And by just drilling down is the idea. Create the 10 groups or the 5 groups of the similar words. You put a tracking code in each one. And then the ones that do perform, then you can either break those up into separate groups or you can put a different tracking code in each one. But it's a matter of 5 or 10 tracking codes, not 2 or 300.
Yep, that's right. That's right. So you don't have to track everything. You run it long enough to see what you want to track a little more closely, and you break it out. And again, Google's advanced interface makes that real easy to do. Okay, let's see. I'm going to give you a list of things to change when you're writing ads. So here's a thought process for you. You set up a new campaign and all these keywords. Let me talk about where to get the keywords. You want every possible variation of Learn Portuguese that you can come up with, and so Overture's tool is good. A better tool for that sort of thing is Word Tracker, wordtracker.com. It's a monthly subscription deal, and you can try it out on a one-day basis or a week or whatever. That'll give you a lot more phrases than just the obvious ones, and they're based on what people actually search for. Okay, so you got all your keywords in your campaign, and you're just getting started. What I'd start out is write ads with two different hooks. You know, one is learn to speak Portuguese, and the other one is speak better Portuguese or something like that. Well, one of them's going to win, one of them's going to lose, so you stick with the winner. Then you change one thing at a time. And here's a list of things to change.
So these are different elements that affect the click-through rate of the ad that you found.
Right, right. Okay. And all of these things can bump it up or down a tenth of a point, 2/10 of a point, 3/10 of a point. number one, any of the verbs or adjectives, or for that matter the nouns, but especially the verbs and adjectives, any one of those could change your response plus or minus half a percent. Change the word fast to the word easy, or change the word simple to the word quick, or something like that. Those little changes can make very significant differences. So I create a new ad. It's an exact duplicate of the old ad, except one word's different. I let it run for a while. I pick a winner. Then I change something else. Okay, the order of the lines of the ad. Sometimes you could reverse line 2 and line 3, and it basically still means the same thing, but like I did a campaign where I was offering a report on some technical information, and it said something like guide to difficult terminology, 3 pages, free PDF download. I reversed line 2 and line 3, and it said, 3 pages, free PDF download, guide to difficult terminology. That's the only difference. The same headline, line 2 and line 3 changed. The response went from 3.7% down to 0.2. And I thought about it. I thought, why is that? It's because people want a benefit before they get a feature. It was just a feature benefits thing, and you could see that live on Google. Now, if you were in direct mail, if you were doing email campaigns for the most part, or if you're doing, you know, other kinds of media, it would take months sometimes to find things like that. But on Google, you can find it in a day or two. And so, you know, just that one little change. So, you know, reversing the order of information that's in your ad, maybe you take some information that was in your third line, put it in the headline. I don't know.
Yeah, I've done that, and I've actually done really well by taking line 1 and switching line 1 of the copy and actually putting it in the headline.
Yes.
In fact, that's how I found the 1.2% click-through one, is just by tweaking that one day. I think I may even did it by accident. But then I thought, well, whatever, you know, it doesn't cost any more money. Google really does encourage you to do it, because they want you to get the most number of clicks that you can, because A, it helps them give their searchers a better user experience, and 2, it helps them make more money because you're buying more clicks.
Yep. it's really cool. Hey, I'd like you to go to page 3 of this collection of ads here. I want to show you some things that I think is really interesting. I decided to do some U.S. presidents. So I did a search on George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Hillary Clinton. I thought it was interesting to see what I find here. There were 2 ads running for George W. Bush. Bush 2004 shirts and stickers, George W. bobblehead. Looks like the bobblehead is less popular than the hats, shirts, and stickers. I thought the Bill Clinton deal was interesting because this isn't Bill Clinton. This is a company called Clinton Products that makes medical stuff. So it looks like there's some market for George Bush. There's no market anymore for Bill Clinton. But then look at Hillary Clinton. This is hilarious. I got Hillary for president, buttons and pins supporting Hillary's run for the White House. That's got a full interest bar. We got enemiesofhillary.com, search engine for conservatives. Proceeds go to Hillary's opponent. Enemiesofhillary.com, full interest bar. Now, I like this one. How to destroy a village. Notice that powerful verb, destroy. That is a power word. If you can use the word destroy in your ad.
And also the words how to are extremely powerful.
How to is a great, yes.
Because actually, if I think Gary Halbert did a newsletter issue, this must have been 10 or 15 years ago, but he took the entire books in print, which is all the books in print that exist in the world. And the number one most popular way to start the title of a book is the word how to. And the reason is because people want to know how to do something. And so it's a very clear indication that if you have a problem, this is the way to overcome that problem. This is how to fix that problem.
How to is great. Oh, and you know what, John? It's a timeless formula. It'll never wear out.
Ever.
When in doubt, you can always use a how-to. Now, here's another trick.
Now, these are the things that you're giving us that are the ways to, we'll call them response modifiers.
Right. Okay. Right. Now, here's another response modifier. In addition to, you know, speak Portuguese, learn Portuguese, you should bid on the phrase, how to speak Portuguese. And here's what I found. If you bid on the phrase, how to speak Portuguese, and you have an ad which says, how to speak Portuguese, in the headline, you will usually, on that combination, you won't get a 1 or 2 or 3% response. You'll usually get a 10 or 20% click-through rate. Okay? When your ad is an answer to a question and you answer the question directly, how to take better pictures, how to improve your golf swing, or whatever. People type in things like how to improve my golf swing. You know, you should bid on not just your golf swing, but my golf swing. They'll type in how to improve my golf swing more often than they'll type in how to improve your golf swing, because they're not talking to the search engines. They're telling the search engine what they're saying to themselves.
That's great.
Okay? That's a killer formula, and for obvious reasons, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I've got a campaign where I get hundreds and hundreds of clicks. It's a niche product, but I get hundreds and hundreds of clicks every week on, let's say, the noun, and I get a few dozen clicks on how to. But I get just as many sales from the few dozen clicks of the how to as I get on the hundreds of clicks that's just about the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that people want to do. It's kind of like how to speak Portuguese. That right there could make or break somebody's campaign.
Well, and you know, that's so important, because a lot of these campaigns, they once they reach profitability, or once they reach break even, I should say, then it's just a matter of tweaking to get them to profitability.
Yes.
The hardest thing, though, is to get them to break even.
Right.
And that's what these little tricks do. That, I'm looking at the clock, and I don't want to keep people for too long.
Oh.
No one is going to mind that we give extra value, but let's keep going on the response modifiers, and I think we can even continue the discussion on Thursday.
Yes.
You got a couple more for us?
Well, I've got a killer one that I just came up with like a week ago. I'll save that for Thursday, but here's one that makes a big difference. It's very easy to experiment with, and that's the capitalization. And it's the capitalization of any word in the entire ad.
Now, when we talked originally, Terry, you had said that if you have a site like beamysteryshopper.com,
yep,
that you, in the URL, you noticed a tweak when you capitalize the B-A mystery shopper, so those individual words in the URL. You're talking about words in the ad now, correct?
Yes. Yes. Anything in the URL, like if the URL is composed of several words, capitalizing the beginning of every one of those words, it doesn't always increase the response, but it usually does, and
wow,
you should just test it.
Does Google let you use all caps, or is that one of their...
Not names? All caps all the way across. Unless you have a really good reason to, like it has to make what?
It increases my response.
Yeah, well, it has to not look gaudy.
Okay.
That's what their editorial staff is looking for, and I haven't talked about much about their editorial staff. Usually they stay out of your way unless you're just doing something that's a violation, but you know, we could take any one of these ads here, you know, how to destroy a village, get the truth about the Clinton administration, below retail price, www.conservativemall.org. Okay, this ad right here, I would experiment with capitalizing the T in truth, the A in about. See, Clinton is already capitalized, A in administration, retail, the R, the P in price. Every one of those letters could make a difference, and what I typically find is if you capitalize most of those words, like not necessarily the or the of or whatever, but if you capitalize all those words, that'll bump you up another tenth of a point or two-tenths of a point. Conservative, C, mall, M, if you do that, that could adjust the response one or two-tenths of a point.
Mm-hmm.
And on our previous call, you talked about how, you know, horse races are not won by, you know, hundreds of feet. They're won by a nose.
Yeah.
Okay? These are the little things. I mean, just in this one ad between the order of the lines, the adjectives, the verbs, the capitalization, there's easily 10 or 15 or 20 things that you can play with, and somewhere in there is a formula that, whether for rational reasons or irrational reasons, will get your click-through rate higher, higher, higher. And so typically what I see is between what people start out with and what they end up with after they've played with a lot of this stuff is an improvement of 2, 3, 4, or 5 times better than what they started with, which means the same amount of traffic for half, a third, a fourth, a fifth of what they started with. Then
just as much money, but 3 times more traffic.
Exactly. Then you add in things like the brackets and the quotes and the variations, and you're talking another improvement of probably 50% in the economies of what you're saving. And then you get rid of keywords that don't convert. And we've just defined a process for squeezing anywhere from 5 to 20 times as much out of your AdWords campaigns as if you just did what most people do.
Okay. Wow. Let's wrap up now and just let people know about the questions. Now, in the next call, which is coming up on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, like I said, we'll send everybody a notification. What we'd like to do is get questions from all of you guys who are listening to this right now. And Perry and I decided that we really want questions. I mean, we really want great questions.
Yep.
Hard questions. Questions
yep.
that you might think, well, I don't want to ask them that. Maybe they don't know. Don't worry. If we don't know, we've got a couple days to find out.
Dump the
chat. A lot of clients who work with Google. Perry's got tons of case studies and examples. And the harder, the better. So what we decided to do is have a little contest. And the person who asks the best question between now and next Thursday, and we'll try to answer every one of them, we're going to give a gift to Perry. Has an ebook for, I think it's about $50.
Yeah, $49, Definitive Guide to Google AdWords.
And I've got my Anatomy of an Internet Marketing Rollout, which I did with Ken McCarthy, which actually starts, the anatomy of a rollout starts with pay-per-click search engines, and at
right.
this point, Google. And so it's really a phenomenal plan to put together a marketing promotion from beginning to end. And so the person who asks the best question is going to get the both of those packages. We're just going to go ahead and we'll send them off to you. And what we'd like you to do is on the next call, because this certainly takes a while to go over, and there's there's probably a lot more information that we, we'd like to cover. Probably go 90 minutes on the next call, if that's okay with everybody, and we'll make sure that, if anybody has any objections, let us know. What we'll do is we'll go 90 minutes, we'll answer the questions. Perry has a couple more techniques he's going to give away, and then a few more case studies that we're going to go ahead and answer on that call. Perry, where should they send their questions?
You can do one of two things. You can either email me, google@perrymarshall.com, or you can go to my website, perrymarshall.com, and there's a little email link at the bottom of every page. You can just click on that, and a box will pop up. You can type your email address and your question. So either way that you want to do it, but we'll take your questions. And again, we're a prize for the best one, and we're going to make every possible effort to answer every single question that you throw out. I mean, as much as we can cram in 90 minutes is what we're going to do.
Well, if we get a lot of questions, we'll just spend the whole time answering questions, since that's the most important thing, is that we get everybody's questions answered. If not, we'll go ahead and we'll just talk about the additional techniques and also go over a couple more case studies.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, guys, set your calendar for Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll have the same login, same number, and we will be getting together at that time with Perry and get your questions into us as soon as possible. And Perry, thank you so much. You've already made me money. I can't believe you got me with that one little trick from page 2 to page 1.
Hey, it's the fun of it.
I'm, the only question I have now is that 2.7 times the return on investment going to stick. But it's easy enough to know because we're using an ad tracker. And I just thank you for that and for all the stuff that you've shared today. Really
right on.
Appreciate it. Let's go ahead and get together on Thursday. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you, Perry.
Thank you, everybody.